I'm not singing, y'all. That's not my solo intro, okay? I know y'all were a little scared about that for a second. I personally believe that every church has a reputation. So, Brother Mike, I don't even know of some churches. My friends, let me just tell you this. That's their reputation. Some churches are not impacting at all the city in which they are sitting, and therefore they have no reputation. But, my friends, every church has a reputation. How are they known? How do people in that community know them? How do they view them? I believe that every church needs to understand that a church's reputation is made up of the sum total of the individuals in the room. That is, as you go out from this place every week and in your workplaces and your circles of influence, you are spreading Lamar wherever you go. Brother Mike, what are you trying to say? That can be either good or bad is what I'm trying to say. You can spread the aroma of Christ and His love and His power and His grace and hallelujah to the King. He indeed is risen. Or you can spread another message around. That is, that we don't really care. We don't even pay attention to what's going on in your life. And that I myself come to church on Sunday, but it does not impact my daily lives. I want you to know something, my friends. Those people that are closest to you know what reputation you're spreading about Lamar. They see it clearly in your everyday life, and you cannot hide it. And I believe the early church here in Acts chapter 5 also had a reputation. We have to look no further to understand what the book of Acts is all about than to read this passage and catch for a sense for just a moment of who they were in the city of Jerusalem. We're talking today about the idea of how now shall we live. We're starting a series today about you and I. You believe the resurrection, that Jesus Christ came out of the tomb, don't you? That's about half of you. I'll say that one more time. You believe that Jesus Christ came out of the tomb, don't you? I know that's a positive affirmation of your faith. I understand that. I believe that. In fact, when we sing and celebrate those times, our times of your own heart stirs and you remind yourself of the triumph of Christ and what He did for us on the grave. I know you believe that. But what benefit is that belief to us? If you believe that, my friends, you have to ask the question, how am I now going to live in life of that belief? If you believe the Lord Jesus Christ is your Savior and Lord, that He lives and reigns inside of every heart and every person who trusts Him as Savior and Lord, my friends, if you believe that, my friends, it ought to show up in your everyday life, and this church ought to have a reputation of godliness and holiness and God's power amongst us because it is amongst you in your everyday life. I want to encourage you today to have an impact upon this city like the first church did. If you're there with me, Acts chapter 5 and verse 12, would you stand as we honor the word of the Lord today? Let's read starting in verse 12. And through the hands of the apostles, many signs and wonders were done among the people, and they were there all in one accord in Solomon's porch. Yet none of the rest dared join them, but the people esteemed them highly, and believers were increasingly adding to the Lord multitudes of both men and women, so that they brought the sick out into the streets and laid them on beds and couches, that at least the shadow of Peter passing by might fall on some of them. Also a multitude gathered from the surrounding cities to Jerusalem, bringing sick people and those who were tormented by unclean spirits, and they were all healed. Then the high priest rose up and all those who were with him, which is the sect of the Sadducees, and they were filled with indignation, and laid their hands on the apostles and put them in the common prison. But at night an angel of the Lord opened the prison doors and brought them out and said, "Go stand in the temple and speak to the people all the words of this life." And when they heard it, they entered the temple early in the morning and taught. But the high priest and those who came and called the council together with all the elders and the children of Israel and sent to the prison to have them brought out. But when the officers came and did not find them in the prison, they returned and reported, saying, "Indeed, we found the prison doors shut securely and the guards standing outside before the doors. But when we opened them, we found no one inside." Now when the high priest and the captain of the temple and the chief priests heard these things, they wondered what the outcome would be. So one came and told them, saying, "Look, the men whom you put in prison are standing in the temple and teaching the people." Then the captain went with the officers and brought them without violence, for they feared the people lest they should be stoned. And when they had brought them, they set them before the council. And the high priest asked them, saying, Did we not strictly command you not to teach in this name? And look, you have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine and intend to bring this man's blood upon us. Father God, today, may we as your church fill the city of Wichita Falls with the teaching of Jesus' name. May you bless us, Lord, as a church, that our reputation would be such that matches the New Testament church, filling the city with the story of the resurrection. Which in Christ's name I pray it. Amen. It's important as we begin a study in the book of Acts that we put in context the words that we're reading here. I want you to remember something and listen carefully as I describe this, because it's very important to how a church should function based upon the book of Acts. There are many churches that divide strongly here in these chapters. The Gospels are all written by Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. A man named Luke, the same one who wrote the Gospel, Luke, wrote the book of Acts in front of you. In fact, they call it the Acts of the Apostles. You might have that at the front of your book of Acts in your Bibles today. The Acts of the Apostle. He, Luke, narrates a story for us about the events that took place while the apostles were still around. A narrative, my friends, is a story. It is not a prescription. A story describes events. A prescription heals a sickness. The epistles of the New Testament, such as Romans, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, all those are epistles, and many others I did not mention there. And they are prescriptions. They are designed by the Lord God Almighty to speak to the church and to heal the church of what ails us. Isn't that a good word? Do y'all know there's things that ail us in the church? I just want y'all to make sure y'all knew that. I've got a fact established there amongst us. They are prescriptions. They said, do this and do that. They tell us, in short, who God is, who we are, and how we should live. Many of the books of the New Testament, the epistles, have a doctrinal section. They teach us. And then many of them also have a practical section. This is how you should live because you believe this way. I got to tell you something. That's a great way to look at Christian faith as a whole. If you believe in the resurrection, my friends, it ought to show up in your everyday life. Amen? It ought to have a difference in the way you act and move and live amongst all people in all times. They are prescriptions. A story is a description. It has portions of it that are meant for us to be eternal and to apply to our everyday life. And portions of the story are just descriptive. They just tell part of the story. They name the place or the persons or the events that took place, and they are descriptive. You and I, when we come to a story like the book of Acts, the Acts of the Apostles, you and I must discern between what we read as prescriptive, telling us how to live our lives in very concrete examples and ways, and what is descriptive. That is, it just describes the events that are before us. For example, in your Bible, we look here at two examples, in my opinion, that highlight this point. Look at verse 12 with me as we look at the scriptures again, Acts chapter 5 and verse 12. This is an example of a descriptive event. The last phrase says they were all in one accord in Solomon's porch. Now, just to be clear here, we are not talking about, my friends, a Honda Accord. Y'all do your head like that. Make sure you understand me, okay? It's a different meaning altogether. But notice where they are. They're in Solomon's porch. This is a description of where they gathered in the early church. I want you to know something. Go ahead and look around this room. Identify it clearly for me today, as this is not being Solomon's porch. How many of y'all picked up on that? Say, no, I didn't see that. I thought this was Solomon's porch. This is not Solomon's porch. All right? It is a descriptive event. It's not telling the church from this time forward and forevermore, church, you should always meet in Solomon's porch. Y'all following that logic? It's a descriptive event. Also in front of us, I believe, another descriptive situation here is that this is about the apostles. Notice there as well in verse 15 and 16, a second example of this principle. The apostolic power that is here, the healing that they were enacted and able to do by the Lord God Almighty, that all who came under the teaching or under the shadow, it says, of Peter, verse 15, all, I love that phrase, verse 16, all were healed. The apostles do not exist anymore, my friends. They are no longer here. In order to be an apostle, you had to have be called physically by a physical Lord Jesus Christ. That is, you walked with him and talked with him. You knew what he looked like physically, and you sat next to him maybe and took the Lord's Supper with him. The Apostle Peter did indeed do that, my friends. And these guys were gifted with the Holy Spirit gift of apostolic leadership. They were given the gift, I believe, of healing. And they were able, through the work of the Holy Spirit, to heal many in their time here on the earth. We don't even know how many were healed in verse 16. It just says, all were healed. That's a whole bunch of people. Amen? If I said all today in this room, my friends, I'd be talking about 400 people maybe, 350 people. That's all of us. Here, they are given that authority. The apostles, my friends, don't exist anymore. Therefore, what we're talking about here today is a description of how we should view the book of Acts. Do we expect today for the apostles to show back up again and to heal people? My friends, I do not believe that is an accurate understanding of the book of Acts. Y'all, do your head like that. You don't have to agree with me. I'm just kind of give it out there. Later on, when you realize you're wrong, you'll agree with me later. The apostles were given these gifts, and they no longer exist. Why were they given these gifts, Brother Mike? First of all, they were given these gifts to confirm that the word that they said came with God's authority. I want you to know something. When Peter healed people, people sat up and listened to Peter. Amen? There are days I wish I could pull that off just so somebody would listen to me. Amen? God still heals, my friends, but the apostles, the office of the apostles, no longer exists. I resist those who say in churches, I am the apostle such and such and so. My friends, you are not. Because Jesus physically didn't talk to you physically and call you to that office. Because he stopped walking the earth a little over 2,000 years ago. Amen? The apostles themselves were given this ability because they were going to be the ones who wrote Scripture or endorsed its writing. They had this authority and this gift because of that. God communicated to them, therefore, in different ways than they do today. This is all description, not to be taken as a prescription for us today. So if I ask, how was the early church known? Some people say, well, they were known by their healings and their signs and their wonders. You're exactly right, they were. But I want you to know something, that's not how we will be known today. We will be known by the fact that we take the gospel into this world to save souls through God's Spirit and God's power. That's how we should be known today. Before we look at four things that I think that these guys were known for, I want you to see a picture. You're going to have to back up in that PowerPoint for me a couple of slides to that picture. Do y'all remember that picture? Yeah, you do. I think it's April 10th, 1970, what? See? In fact, this week, with the storms on Monday, some of y'all relived it, didn't you? Not some of y'all, a whole lot of y'all. You know, Wichita Falls, by and large, guys, is more cautious of storms than most cities that I've been a part of in the tornado alley. When I lived in Nakona, nobody does this, but you can shut this city down with a tornado watch, can't you? Don't worry about the snow and the ice, because we'll wreck out on Interstate 44, okay? But a tornado watch will send the whole town into the cellar. Now you say, well, rightly so, Brother Mike. If you'd have been here, you'd feel the same way. You're right, I wasn't here. And it's hard for sometimes to me identify with all that. But I want you to know, in a negative way, this tornado still impacts this city, right? The memories of it are still fresh in some of your minds who lived right smack dab through the middle of that half-mile-wide F5 tornado, aren't they? Now, I want you to know something that I believe in a positive way. The testimony of Lamar should be that vivid in the people of this city's mind. I think people who live over here on Victory Lane, which don't know where that's at, North Travis, I know where Broad is. I think this is 10th. I know where 10th Street is. Y'all know where 10th Street is? Bonnie and Burnett or Barnett or whatever it is, Mary Lane. I think the people who live on these roads ought to know about Lamar. I think you and I ought to have a reputation about making disciples that goes across this city just as vividly and widely, just as graphically as that did. I think that's what God calls us to do and to be. Because, why do I say that? Because I think in a prescription kind of way, this church, the New Testament church of Acts, was known for that kind of impact. And my friends, if they could do it, so can we. Amen? So there in your notes and in your outline, some of you have already got the first one there. They are known first and foremost by one accord. It means they are one mind, not like I said, in one Honda, but in one mind. Now, if you all were in one Honda, somebody better have one mind. Amen? Because things are going to get awful tight in there. Somebody doesn't know what's going on. They were known as having a unanimous heart. This church, this early church, should be our church as well. Philippians chapter 2, verse 1 and 2 confirms for us something that we ought to be able to know as a prescription. We ought to be of one mind. That's the primary way that I know something should be prescribed, that is, tell me what to do, from the book of Acts. It matches a testimony in the rest of the Bible, the rest of the Gospels, the rest of the New Testament. And when I say our church, Lamar, ought to be known by one mind, I stand on the authority of not just this passage of Scripture, my friends, but an authority of Philippians chapter 2, verse 1 and 2, that teaches us to be of one mind, unified. I think it really comes down to this. It does not mean, my friends, that everybody does the same thing, or wears the same clothes, or even looks the same in their skin color or their background. I simply means this, that while we are working together, we have one purpose in focus, one thought in our head, and we can almost read what each other are doing as we work in the gospel to reach this city for the Lord Jesus Christ. When you and I have worked with somebody for a long time in a very close proximity, you get to the place where you can depend upon them to do something, and they can depend upon you to do something, and there is no need for communication in that moment in time. You simply know it. Many examples in my life, especially with my brothers, even to this very day, we can out be doing something together, and I can tell what they're going to do next. I know they're going to be reacting to this situation that way, or they expect me to step in and do this, and I expect them to step in and do something else. We work together because we have a lot of the same DNA inside of us. But it's more than that. We grew up underneath the same dad teaching us how to work, and so we have a lot of practical experience together as well. And when we work together today on a project, we work together very smoothly many times, except for those few rare occasions when somebody has to eat some dirt. And then there's a little breakout happening between my brothers and I. Do you remember those times like that? Have you ever had times like that? Your husband and your wife, maybe you've worked with them possibly like that. It's a time of sweetness in the body of Christ when you and I as a church, when each individual in this room is all working towards one goal, unified, but doing many different jobs, dependent upon one another as we go, each person fulfilling that which God intended them to do. That's the goal, that's the focus, that's the hope of our church today, to be in unity. I do not want to be known as a church that is divided. Amen? Young man that I know and worked with for some time, call me this week. He's a youth minister now in a church that is divided. They, as a church, came to him and told him that they didn't like their preacher, that they would get rid of him if he would agree to be their preacher. And I told him, run and hide. Because if they'll do it to him, they'll do it to you. Amen? There are people in his life that have told him, hey, buddy, be careful. That church has a reputation of being like that. My friends, I don't want that kind of reputation. Amen?
We have to be together or we'll never go anywhere at all. We'll just sit here at the starting block fighting and scrapping over who gets to go first. Be one, of course. Second thing in your outline today that I believe that is prescribed for the church to do today is that we ought to be known by our present impact. Many churches today, in fact, one of the very first things that you will hear anybody describe about a church in modern day society today, you will describe and be described their worship style. You will find out if they're contemporary or for us blended or maybe traditional. They use all hymns or no screens, or they don't have certain instruments on the platform, or they do have certain instruments on the platform. The preacher doesn't even wear a tie. I mean, you got crazy kind of fanatics out there. Did y'all know that? I don't know what that has to do with preaching the gospel, but we get a little tied up in knots. In fact, if I'm not wearing a tie today, some of y'all are going to say something to me about it this afternoon. We get kind of known by that. That's a reputation. I don't think that's always legitimate, my friends, because first of all and foremost, there is, if you've noticed in this passage, no mention of the type of worship style they endured or went through or practiced. Did y'all notice that? We understand they filled the city with the doctrine, but we do not say that this is their worship style. They were contemporary or they were traditional. Do y'all see that? In fact, I don't find that hardly anywhere in the Bible. Why? Because worship of God should transcend a style. If you're, y'all do your head like that for me. So, Brother Mike, I don't agree with that. I'm not asking for you to say an amen, all right? But worship of God should transcend style. Because God himself existed in the time of the Acts, and he existed in our time today. And my friends, it's different. Y'all do your head like that. The church has gone through many, many changes since this day. So, Brother Mike, you mean they didn't sit in a place like this and the preacher have a cloth that he ignored? No, they didn't do that. You mean the choir weren't wearing blue and red? No, they were probably not singing in a choir loft either. I know that's scary. You mean, Brother Mike, what's the difference? There's thousands of differences, but the same God is worshipped in all contexts. Worship transcends. That's one reason why it's not mentioned here. There are some churches, my friends, that are known by their past, what they used to be. I don't want to be known as what I used to be. I want to be known by present impact. Notice in this story here, some things that indicate the present impact. In fact, maybe the most important thing of all, I want you to underline verse 28. The phrase that is said of the church. Now, these are the enemies of the church speaking here. That is, those who hated the church said, "This is what you've done." I think that's a great statement of how you can gauge who you are today. What do your enemies even say about you? Verse 28 says that the Sadducees, the high priests, the captains of the temples, all those guys said, "You have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine." Woo! Man, I like that. I pray the Lord God Almighty would allow us to fill the city of Wichita Falls with the teaching of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? That happens when you and I get out there in the present day world and teach people about Jesus Christ. Notice there verse 13 as well. It says, "The rest dare not to join them." What are we talking about, the rest? Brother Mike, then it says many people were added. The rest are the sects that are mentioned here in these verses. We have here in these verses, and I got my list ready. The Sadducees are mentioned. The captains of the temple are mentioned. The high priest is mentioned. The council is mentioned. And the chief priests are mentioned. They, that group, would not join with the church because they knew the church of the living God in this day and time were known by the power of the doctrine that Jesus Christ came out of the grave, and they didn't want anything to do with that. That's exactly what it means. They saw firsthand witness, and they were in respect of it. It says they dared not to join them. They esteemed them highly because they knew what they were teaching was absolutely powerful and was changing lives and changing the city, and they were a little fearful of coming alongside them and said, "Hey, we want to be a part," without believing in Jesus' name. Notice what happens here, verse 14. "And the believers were increasingly added to the Lord." Multitudes. Man, I like that phrase. Amen? I have prayed for multitudes at Lamar. Brother Mike, I'm not ready for multitudes. I just want me and Mom and four more, and that'll be all. No. Multitudes. multitudes. I pray for multitudes. I like it because it's so indescribable. It's beyond my ability to put a number to. Amen? That's why I like it. The impact of our congregation, present day, right now, ought to esteem us highly in this community. People always say, man, that Lamar's, things are going on over there. That's good stuff. God's doing some work over there. And I see it. I recognize it. Man, I'm not going to come over there and just hang out and see. If I go over there, I might end up getting saved. And amen, we're praying for you. Amen. They esteemed him highly. That's what that means. They had a present impact. The people knew what this church, the early church, was up to and what they were doing in the everyday life. They had a present impact. It wasn't based upon their past and what they had been doing just shortly before this, but today. What do I mean by that? These same apostles that you just read about in this story, they were literally setting the city on its ear with their doctrine. Were just a few days beforehand cowering in an upper room in fear. No more than a year, maybe two. In my opinion, it was months from the Acts chapter 1 till Acts chapter 5. Months. Not years, not decades. Months. They were setting the city on its ear, whereas a few months ago, they hadn't done a thing. They were the ones in fear. Now, I want you to notice this. I believe God wants to take everybody that will and turn them from fearful to faithful. I believe today, so Brother Mike, I don't think my impact is very good. I want to give you hope today. It can be. It can be. Amen? All it takes is for you to be submitted to the Spirit of God in your life. That's all it takes. And that will change your life, your husband, your wife, your kids, and this world and this city in a blink of an eye. That's how it starts. That's all it takes, my friends. Present impact. Lamar has been many things in the past. And you are known in this city. I don't know if you guys know that, but as I spend time around this city, one of the things I hear is, pretty often really is, I used to be a part of Lamar. I hear that pretty often. And by the way, some of them are your kids and grandkids, right? Say, oh, I don't want to say, yeah, I know that. You know that. They aren't here anymore. I get it. Lamar at one time was the largest church in this city, probably. One of them. We aren't anymore. We're still a good-sized church, but we're not the largest church in this city. Brother Bob is mentioned widely in this city, still known today for the 28 years of ministry he gave to this congregation. Respected widely, by the way. Not just known, but respected. You're known by these things. Present day, how are we known? Man, one of the things that we're being known by recently is those who have joined us in recent days. We're being known by the fact that we have seen a great number of people trust Christ as Savior and Lord and be baptized, as you saw today. That's starting to get around a little bit. I pray it spreads like an infection. Amen? In a good kind of way. Amen? In a good kind of way. And I pray that what happens here continues to astound and esteem us highly. Not for us, but for Him. Amen? That God would be glorified. You sang the song, to God be the what? That's what we're praying for. That, my friends, is present impact. Brother Mike, how can I get involved in the present impact of this church? Here you go. Here's a list. I'll give you several. First of all, Monday night, grow. Just jump up in there all over this city. We're going to be going all over. You can come be a part of that. Adopt a block's happening. Come be a part of that. There's a list longer than David could give me, my friend. The Jerusalem team here in our church is still active and needs to be a part. You need to be a part of all of our athletic leagues and the camps that we do, all the VBS that we do. Say, Brother Mike, are you saying we need help there? All you got to do is go talk to Jana. Amen? She will put you to work so fast with the babies in this city and the VBS, it'll make your head spin. Y'all do your head like that. There are more ministries and we've got people to fill them. That's what I see. There's places for you. Present impact. What are you doing now? Second thing, or I guess it's third now. The church was known in that day and time by relevant, life-changing message. A relevant, life-changing message. Four times in this passage of Scripture, it is said that the word teaching is used. Look with me very carefully. First of all, verse 21. It says there, and when they heard that, they entered the temple early in the morning and taught. Verse 21. Verse 25. So one came and told them, saying, look, the men whom you put in prison are standing in the temple and teaching the people. Twice in verse 28. Did we not strictly command you not to teach in his name? Also in the same verse, you have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine. All forms of one Greek word. It means going back and forth in teaching. It doesn't mean proclamation, my friends. They were teaching each other and others. They were talking to one another in a conversational kind of way. The Bible is very clear about a distinction between what I'm doing today, called proclamation, and what teaching is, back and forth Bible study. We call it small group. Amen? We're talking about your Sunday school class. You need a place where you are taught, that is, back and forth discussion over the word of the Lord God Almighty. You need that place. It's got to happen. And this is how they were impacting the city with a relevant, life-changing message. I love the phrase there at verse 20. Go speak to the people, all the words. I love this. The angel told them, go tell them about the words of life. Y'all like that? The words of life. It's not just a lifestyle that the Lord needs from you, my friends, of evangelism. He needs your words. Speak the words of life to people. What life are we talking about, Brother Mike? The life that is promised in Jesus' name. Because he alone went to the cross and died. He alone rose again on the third day and ascended on high and gave us the command to go and to tell, to use our words to impact our city for the Lord Jesus Christ. These people, these apostles, my friends, they were impacting their city. And those who were their detractors, those who did not like them, clearly got their message. They said, verse 28, you intend to bring this man's blood upon us. They were clearly teaching about the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Otherwise, that phrase makes no sense in light of the story. Y'all following that? And these guys in that day, the detractors, got clearly the life-changing message that Jesus is the only one who saves. And my friends, I want you to know a word from the Lord is, Jesus is the only one that saves. He is the only name given among men by which we all must be saved. You have to trust Christ as your Savior and Lord. Your mama can't do it for you. Your daddy can't do it for you. Your wife can't do it. Your kids can't do it for you. You alone have to trust Christ or reject him. You alone have to understand and consider the claims of the authoritative New Testament Word of God. And say to your heart, what have I done with the proclamation of the truth of this gospel in my life today? If you believe and tell me you believe in the resurrection, my friends, and yet you sit there in your sin without trusting Christ to redeem you from your own sin through his blood he shed on the cross, my friends, you are not being true to what you believe. If you believe that, then step out and trust Christ as Savior and Lord. Put your hands or your heart in his hands and give your life to him. That's life-changing impact. And it starts with an individual and works out. I pray Lamar would be known by a life-changing message like that. The people of this city would say, well, we don't know all that Lamar's about, but we know this. They're about telling the gospel. They're about teaching people back and forth or in a proclamation setting, Jesus is the only way. Man, what a prayer. Amen? That is prescriptive. How do I know that? 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 19 through 27 tells us in Paul's own words that you and I ought to be ones who make sure the gospel goes out by any means at all. You look up that passage of Scripture later and see if it does not confirm that we ought to have a present impact and a relevant life-changing message. I want to mention to you, what exactly should we be doing? I think in order for us to communicate like this, we have to understand the needs in our community very clearly and in our world today. And I'll just mention one because the time has already gone. First of all and foremost, I believe we have to understand that we live in a world that basically makes their decisions on emotion. That's why sometimes they make people of this world make really wise and you say, man, that person made a good decision. And the next time you say, what in the world were they thinking? Here's the statement. They weren't thinking, they're feeling. Amen? You and I need to understand that as we communicate, our world increasingly so communicates in more and more and more emotional terms all the time. All the time. And if you don't grasp that when you're communicating with someone in this world who's not a believer, my friends, you're going to not be able to communicate with them clearly, and the life-changing message will not get through. Amen? That siren out there is for someone that needs to be saved. Y'all believe that? Some of y'all know. Well, we're a rescue boat. Let's go after some people, y'all. What do y'all think? Lastly is this. A church ought to be known today by God-centered power. I know this is prescripted because I believe Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 20 and 21 says, now unto him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly beyond all that we ask or imagine. I think, God, all that we ask or imagine? And God says, yes, all. All that we ask or imagine. Here in this passage of Scripture, no doubt the angelic presence is one of the power, the things that God did in their midst that no one else could explain. They were astonished by it. Hey, guys, those people we put in prison, they're standing in the temple. And what we don't get is the whole prison doors are locked shut tight. And those guys are out there acting like they got free. We don't understand how that happened. Here's how you understand how that happened. Angels showed up. Amen? Angels showed up. We can expect from Hebrews 1 that they will be our ministers of fire. I don't know if they'll open a locked door for you or not, like a car door. We had a locked car door today when we just angels go out there and fix it for us. But I believe angelic presence is part of the power of what happens in the church today. Verse 15 and 16 tells us that the sick were healed and demons were cast out. Do I expect that? I believe God to heal people. That doesn't mean I have the power of healing. The office of the apostles are gone, but God still heals people. Do I believe that God still casts out demons? God can do anything. And there are people in our world today that are indeed under demonic influence and need Jesus Christ to set them free from it. But the biggest miracle of all in verse 14 is what I want you to see as we close today. It says that God added to their number. He just kept adding. 3, 4, 5, 6 at a time. 1, 2, 10. Didn't matter. God just kept on adding. Multitudes, it says. Oh, the greatest miracle of all, my friends, is what happens in one person's heart when they surrender to Christ as their Savior and Lord. That's the greatest miracle of all. When you and I trust Him, we begin to impact our city. I want us to impact the city. The street signs are up here today to make you mindful of the city you're sitting in. It's broader than this room. It's wider than this auditorium. Go out into it. You take the gospel message and impact this city. Just tell somebody the words of life. That's my encouragement to you. If they can do it, so can we. I believe that with all my heart. I believe God is calling us to do it. Today, how can you today start to be a part of a positive impact in this city? You start, first of all, by trusting Christ as your Savior and your Lord. You're not going to make a positive impact without Jesus inside of you. You have to admit that there's sin in your life and you alone are responsible for it. And you need to turn from that sin and trust Christ as Savior and Lord today in this room, right now. That's the first step. It's the only right step, my friends. Is doing what God has called you to do today by trusting Him as Savior and Lord. If you don't know Him, it's time for you to know Him, to put Him in the lordship of your life. Secondly, if you're a part of the believers, then get on board. If you believe to be if you believe in the resurrection and you believe that Lamar is a place where God wants you to work, then come on with us. There's more work to be done than any one of us can do on their own. Come on and join and be a part of us. Place your work effort in one locality, this place. And Brother Mike, I'm doing it on the campus of MSU. I'm doing it over here. I'm doing it over there. Good. Let me ask you, do you have a place where you get rejuvenated and refueled and blessed and sent back out into the world? No, I don't have that place. You need a place like that to prepare you to go out into this world and impact this city. So we invite you during our time of invitation, for you who need to make a decision to step out from where you are and come to an altar and grab one of our ministers by the hand and say, I want to impact this city. I want to start today by trusting Christ as Savior and Lord. I want to start today by becoming a part of Lamar Baptist Church. I want to start today by being involved in God's kingdom work. Today, impact the city. Not 10 years from now, my friends. You're here today to do it. What are you doing? What are you going to do now? Are you going to impact this city or let it impact you? Let's pray. Father God, today we thank you, Lord, that you've spoken and your word is clear about the story of the Gospel of Acts. I pray today that some of the things that have been said today, Father, bring you honor and glory. I pray all they do. And Father, I pray for salvation today. We realize and recognize that there are those in this room who don't know you. And it's time for them to accept you as Savior and Lord. I pray for them to have courage to step out in just a moment and trust you as Savior in this place. Thank you, Lord, for all you have done and all you're going to do in our midst as we be careful to give you the honor and the praise for it. For it's in Christ's name I ask it. Amen. Would you stand with